Welcome to Girls Night, the go-to podcast for women in their everything era. That wildly confusing decade-ish where we have to make many of the most significant decisions of our lives all at the same time. Career, marriage, motherhood, and more. Thankfully, we don't have to do it alone. I'm your host, Stephanie Mae Wilson, and each week on the show, I interview some of the world's wisest women on the topics that keep us up at night. You'll walk away from each episode with both clarity and confidence, knowing what your next step is and also how to take it. After all, the best girls' nights aren't just about eating pizza and sweatpants with your friends. They're about problem solving and leaning into the collective wisdom of women. And that's what the show is about. I'm so looking forward to today's episode because this is a topic I think all of us need right now. Today, we're talking about how to stay hopeful when there's so much bad news in the world, how we can stay informed without being totally crushed by the bad news in the process. We're also talking about how we can help make positive change in our world and in our communities. To help us with this, I've invited my dear friend, Danielle Koch Balfour, back on the show. Danny is a graphic designer turned artist, advocate, speaker, and entrepreneur. She's the founder of Oh Happy Danny, an illustration-based educational platform that uses artwork and resources to make complex ideas more accessible and help others seek justice while staying hopeful. She recently wrote an incredible book called A Heart on Fire, 100 Meditations on Loving Your Neighbors Well. This is something we all need, especially with everything that's happening in our world right now. Here are just a few of the things she's going to teach us in this episode. She'll teach us how to process all the bad news when it feels like the world around us is falling apart. We'll talk about how to figure out what we actually can and should do, like what's within our sphere of influence. We'll talk about practical things we can do with our influence, our time, and our money. We'll talk about how to stay informed without damaging our mental and emotional health, and more. Friends, if you are feeling discouraged by all the bad news and tragic events happening in our world, you are so not alone. But amazing women like Danny are teaching us how we can stay hopeful and take action, and that's why I'm so excited for you to hear this episode. Friends, I love a good smelling home just as much as the next person. But there's nothing worse than lighting a candle with a scent that is way too overpowering and ends up giving you a headache. On top of that, I recently learned that the candle industry contributes to a massive amount of carbon emissions and toxicity in our air. Because of this, I recently made it my mission to find a candle without the harsh chemicals and that was better for the planet. Thankfully, it does exist, and that's why I made the switch to Notes Candles, which also happens to be today's Girls Night sponsor. I love Notes because their scents are high quality, but they don't smell overly sweet or chemical-y. But what's even more amazing is that they're on a mission to help eliminate single-use candle vessels with their more earth-friendly options. Did you know that there are almost 2 billion candles sold each year, and almost all of them are likely to end up in landfills for the next 1 million years? Wow, talk about wasteful. But thankfully, Notes does things differently with their refillable candle system that allows you to use your candle vessel again and again and again. I love this because it's way more sustainable than buying a new candle jar every time you go to the store, and you don't have to feel guilty about throwing your old candle jars in the trash. Plus, it's easy to do and actually really fun. You just place the wick they provide you in your reusable Notes jar, you fill it up with their wax beads, light your candle, and enjoy your fragrance for up to 36 hours. Once you're ready for a new candle, you just repeat the same steps. They have 13 incredible fragrances to choose from, which are all handcrafted by fragrance experts at the Notes home base in South Carolina. I am obsessed with their vanilla and pepperwood scent. It's cozy and warm and perfect for a movie night with your friends. They also have other amazing fragrances like pistachio and rose water, linen and crisp air, and bamboo and water lily. I cannot wait to use their pistachio and rose water scent this spring. Be a responsible consumer while not giving up high-quality home fragrance by making the switch to Notes. Make the switch and build a starter kit. Right now, Notes is giving listeners 15% off and free shipping when you buy a Notes starter kit using the code GIRLSNIGHT at notescandle.com/girlsnight. Just use code GIRLSNIGHT when placing your order. That's code GIRLSNIGHT at notescandle.com/girlsnight. All right, friends, I am Like, to say I'm excited is just an understatement because I love our guest so much. I'm sitting here with my friend, Danielle Coke Balfour, and I am just so honored that you'd come back on Girls Night. Hey, Danny.
Hey, I'm so glad to be back on Girls Night. Thank you for having me.
You are one of my favorite voices. I just have learned so much from you over the years. You've been on the show before, and I have reshared that episode like 1,000 times, which is why I was like, we need to have her back. We need to have you back and like, come on as often. We're just gonna keep bringing you back as often as you'll come on the show. So for women who haven't gotten to meet you yet, you guys, you're welcome. You're gonna love her. Can you tell us who you are, what you do, and a fun fact about yourself?
Yes. So my name's Danielle Coke Balfour, whichever one you want to call me. And I am an illustrator and an advocate. And I like to say that I use art to help people seek justice and stay hopeful. So that has looked like a lot of different things. That has looked like art on Instagram. It also looks like art in my online shop. And then I speak and I write and I have a new book out. It's called A Heart on Fire, 100 Meditations on Loving Your Neighbors Well, which I'm super excited about. And it's just filled with hope and encouragement for difficult seasons related to justice and how easy it can be to lose hope and encouraging you to not do that. So that's kind of what that book is about. And my fun fact, right?
Yes. Fun fact.
Okay. So I don't know if I've used this one already. So if I did, you could just be like, eh, like on Family Feud. Like, okay. Wrong answer. But I really like giant inanimate objects. Have I used this one before?
No. And I have a lot of questions. What does that mean?
So I really like when art imitates life naturally. So at Disney World, I just feel so at home. Like there's the giant Pixar ball and then there's the Slinky ride that looks like Slinky from Toy Story. You know, like that's my thing. But then also it doesn't have to be giant. It can be small. Like we have the little Aladdin lamp and it's an actual like lamp. We have it here. I just love. Okay. So do you remember, did you ever see Ant-Man? Are you a Marvel girly?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So my husband is a Marvel guy. Okay. And so in that movie, I hope I got the character right, but he has this book and it's like called Look Out for the Little Guy. And he like wrote a book and at the end of the movie, he's signing copies of this book. Anyway, I saw that book in Barnes and Noble yesterday. Like they literally created that book from the movie, Look Out for the Little Guy. And I opened it and it's a full book. Like they wrote a book. And I was like, yes, art imitates life, imitates art. So life imitates art actually in this instance. But those are my favorite types of things. It's very niche specific.
That is so like, does it include, so my in-laws live in Indianapolis usually. And so we spend a lot of time on the road between Nashville and Indianapolis. And there's all kinds of things on the side of the road where it's like largest, like I'm pretty sure we drove past a sign that said like world's largest Swiss Army knife.
Wow.
And we had a lot of questions about that. Like, does it have to still fit in your pocket? Like what constitutes a Swiss Army knife and how big can we go? Is it like, you need a really big pocket? Where's the limit? Anyway, so are you like the kind of person who would stop for things like that?
It would have to be really cool to get me to like actually stop.
Okay.
But I may stop.
That is, I love the fun fact question because I'm like, you find out things about people you never know. And I love it so much.
Would you ever know that about me? You wouldn't.
I love it so much. You wouldn't. I love it so much. Okay, Danny, can you tell us more about, I want to go back. We did this in the last episode, but I want to hear it again. And I want to hear just kind of how the book has fit into this. Tell us how you became an artist/activist. Like how did this thing come about? And then like, where did the book fit into it?
Yes, that's a great question. So for those who may not know, I've always been pretty artistic, but art has not always been my career. This is actually pretty new. Yeah. I started doing this full-time in 2019. And a little bit before that, I had graduated from college in 2017 and I was going to be an event planner. So I studied hospitality. And got my business degree and I was like, yes, I'm going to get into event planning and I'm going to look for jobs that were marketing or graphic design related because I am self-taught marketing and graphic design, more so the graphic design part. And so I wanted a job that incorporated both. And so I found a job through a marketing position at an event planning company. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. Stars are aligning. And so I got that job and I was the only Black woman working there. It was a small business. And that's not the only occasion where I've been the only in the room. There's been several occasions of that. But it was pretty felt at this job because there were things going on. There were, you know, insensitive remarks, flat out racist interactions with people that I felt were a bit too common. And so I talked to my boss and I basically said, hey, I would love maybe if we could bring in a speaker, maybe somebody like Latasha Morrison who works with Beat the Bridge or some kind of programming, DEI programming, diversity, equity, inclusion for those who don't know. And maybe we could get a little bit more sensitive about this topic. And I'll never forget, he told me, you know, that's just not, I'm not interested in that. You know, why would I spend company money or time doing something I'm not passionate about? It's just not something I want to do. And so I was like, wow, that's a wild thing to tell somebody. And I decided that this was no longer a place that was going to see me in my fullness. And so I couldn't necessarily feel super safe there. And so I decided to save up a few paychecks and get some graphic design clients on the side and quit. And so I quit that job and I started doing design and marketing for like nonprofits and mission-based organizations. And I said that I wanted to help those folks who were so busy doing the work on the ground that they weren't super focused on like their Instagram feeds. And I was like, this will be the way I give back because I'm super passionate about things like justice. And so 2019 is when I quit my job and I started my small business called So Happy Social. And it was a really good time. I got to work with dream organizations. Like I got to work with Be the Bridge several times, which is so funny because I had just mentioned them earlier. Mm-hmm. But yes, fast forwarding to early 2020, I had gotten an iPad Christmas in 2019. And so I started learning how to draw digitally, but I had always been a creative artistic type of person. And I decided, hey, what if I, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day coming up, what if I create a piece of art that kind of speaks to his legacy and I post it and maybe it'd be cool. So I did that. I posted this quote that talked about how he was a radical disruptor, not just a passive peacekeeper. He was a peacemaker, basically. And so I did an art piece related to that and I posted it and people were sharing it, people that I didn't know. And I had like 700 followers at the time. I was like, this is okay. You guys like my art? It was very basic. So I was a little surprised. Anyway, then Black History Month happened and I was like, well, I'm going to keep making more art. And more people started to find my page. And then summer of 2020 happened, which we will never forget. And then it was George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, center stage in our conversations. And I kept making art about that. And then, yeah, my platform grew to 300,000 plus followers that summer, which was wild. It happened in the span of 1 week. I think I remember telling you that before. I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
You might have, but that is shocking still. Like, what even? Yeah. I feel like you're like, you'd post with like some freedom when you're like 700. Like, I mean, still, oh, yeah. we're all really careful about what we post, but then you're like, oh, what am I supposed to like?
Gotta be careful. Little,
yeah. What do I say next? Yikes.
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely, that was a lot of that going on. But yes, so I think the book and the idea of the book came along when I started noticing this pattern, at least that I was feeling within myself, of huge issues happening locally, globally, whether it's injustice or tragedy or hate crimes or war. There was just always huge, huge things going on that I found to be so overwhelming. And it was very easy to choose to look away, to choose to distract myself or focus on other things and just say, maybe I don't have to pay such close attention. And I realized that in doing that, people were finding themselves to become cold in a way to the world and its troubles. And as a form of, you know, protecting our, the heart, we thought we were protecting ourselves, but we were actually becoming numb and cold, which led to apathy in some ways. And so I wrote this poem for myself and really to encourage other people, but it was basically saying, you know, don't let your heart grow cold. The world needs its warmth. With every beat, life flows out. All that you do will erupt from that deep well. And then I said, when tragedy seeks to pierce your heart like ice, let it be met by the warmth of compassion, the heat of love in motion. And then I said, you know, let your heart swell with the desire to do all that is right and just, and let your days be the evidence of a heart on fire. And so I wrote that poem to kind of encourage myself and others to say, you know, what if instead of letting this make us numb, what if we instead filled our minds and our hearts with all that is good and right and just and pure, and then live a life that exemplifies our values in such a way that those who are witnessing the way we live can't deny the power of it. Mm. And so letting our days become the evidence of that is basically to say, what if our lives were justice in motion, love in motion, empathy in motion? And I came up with 10 different ways, categories. Like I said, love, justice, but there's also creativity, and then there's hope, and then there's redemption. And I took all those 10 categories and I made the book out of them. And I made 10 pieces of art and 10 meditations per category of just ways to spark people's hearts and minds to love in ways that they may not have considered, but in ways that will help us also to stay consistent and not withdraw when things get hard, but find a way to go deep within ourselves and in our own communities. So yeah, that's kind of how I got there.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Friend, how are you? How are you really? I don't know about you, but once springtime hits, it feels like there's a lot more activities happening in my life, from social gatherings to family outings to work meetings. While those are all great things, if I'm not careful, my social battery starts to feel a little bit drained. I've learned that the best thing I can do for myself when I'm feeling this way is to pause and figure out what is filling my cup and what isn't. And the thing that has helped me sort through those feelings the most is therapy. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar. You're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. You frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged, especially lately. The world is such a hard place to live in right now. You really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is all easier said than done. And that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if your social battery is drained and you need some help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship.
We were just talking about book marketing and how it's hard and how it's weird and how putting a book out into the world is a really like hard, crazy thing to do. And it's because of that, it's so fresh on my mind how important it is that we support people who are putting their hearts and their words out into the world by buying the book and how easy it is to hear a podcast or something like this where you're sitting there going, I desperately, like if anyone else is feeling what I'm feeling, they're like, I desperately need this book in my life yesterday / a million years ago. But then we're going to, you know, someone's going to call and we're going to move on and something's going to happen or whatever. So we'll just get distracted. So that's why we need to pause and just add to cart and buy it so that we can support our friend Danny and so that we can have this book we desperately need. So anyway, mine will be here December 4th.
Oh, that was so sweet. Thank you for doing that. Real-time support, folks.
Real-time support. if you guys just paused and bought a book, like maybe screenshot it and send it to us. I can't screenshot because I'm recording on my phone. But
right, yes.
Okay, so back, Danny, I love this. I love this because this is something, that tension between like, so I don't know if, are you an Enneagram person by chance?
Yes, I do. I don't get super, super deep into it, but I love it. And I'm aware, yeah.
What are, do you know what you are?
I'm a 7, wing 8.
Okay. Yeah. We'll need to link to, we have a great Enneagram episode, a couple, I think. We'll link to them in case people are like, what are you talking about? It's a, basically to sum it up in a very simple way, it's a personality test, but it's just a way to kind of put some language around like why you react to some things the way that you do or things you struggle with or things you're good at. I'm a 2, a 2-wing 3. And I think part of my just deep wiring is that I feel really deeply and I'm overwhelmed by my feelings like in the same breath. And I'm super relational. And so when someone around me is hurting, I know it. I know it so deeply and like I'm feeling it with them. And this makes life in our world really hard. Like, and I know it's hard for everybody. But it just feels like this is something that I think about and struggle with every single day is how do I live in a world that's so brutal?
Brutal.
And how can I help without being crushed by it? And it's just this thing I feel constantly. And so the fact that you talk about this and talk about it so beautifully is it's like, this feels like therapy for me. And really it's something that I talk about in therapy because it's such a hard thing for me. So I want to, how do we do this, Danny? How do we, the world is so hard. There are, I mean, at least 2 major wars going on in the world that we hear about, like that are really, really happening in real time. And also a bazillion other things happening. But like just off the top of all of our heads, there are 2 like major wars happening right now. And we know that people are being killed and separated from their families and treated terribly. And I mean, people in our own backyard are hurting. How do we, how do we ingest what's happening? How do we not look away without being crushed by what's happening?
Yes. So my answer, what I may have told you last time still stands, but there's a whole other side to it that I've had to add because of the immense amount of suffering that we're collectively experiencing this year. It feels unlike anything. So can I get a little spiritual as well? Is that okay?
Of course.
Yes, girl. Okay, so first things first, I have had to really get grounded. And this is something that I've been thinking of as recently as this past month, is my foundation has to be sure. It has to be solid. It has to be firm. And for me, so I started out the book with this message that says, a life well-lived requires a firm foundation. So before any of the meditations begin, before any of the chapters open, I have this mini intro. It's like 3 paragraphs. And it's like...
You can read it if you want to. Do you want to read it? I mean, is it easier to talk about it or is it easier to read it?
I could read part of it and then summarize the rest.
Okay.
But so the beginning, it basically says the sturdiest and most long-lasting buildings were not created by accident. They are often the result of months and years of meticulous planning, preparation, and construction. When considering how a building will stand the test of time, we look to its base. What keeps it standing tall? How is it fortified? The journey of good work is undertaken by individuals who know what they stand for. Their values and beliefs are laid brick by brick, cemented together by an unwavering dedication to living these values out loud. And then I go on to describe why I chose the 10 values that I chose for the book and then expand upon it. But then I end with, solid groundwork helps us weather storms, survive attacks, and stand strong in the face of adversity. As you seek to live with a heart on fire, let these meditations help you fortify what you stand for. So that's kind of the goal of the book from my angle. And I thought that was so important, and I'm living it out even more so recently, because when you aren't sure, you will sway. You will sway, you will sway. And it's not just being swayed by the difficulty of life, but being swayed from having opinions and beliefs that are rooted in what you stand for. You'll be swayed from even having those because you're like, oh, well, the world is telling me that certain people deserve to die. But I know in my heart, and I know that the Bible teaches me that nobody deserves to die. And so there's moments like that where the foundation of what you believe in has to be solid and has to be sure. You have to know, okay, my value is human dignity. Human dignity for me is meaning that every single person is created in the image of God. If anything is coming against that and causing me to forfeit that belief in any sense, I will not align with that. And I will be sure and strong in that belief because that is my value and that's what I stand for. And when we don't have those, we'll hear this opinion and be like, oh, well, they sound really passionate about that. And that must be right. And I must be wrong. And we're just swayed and we're swayed. And so for me, I'm like, whoo, Danny, it's time to enter into a season of intense fortification at the base, the base level, and reminding myself of the basics. And so that's one thing that I want to lead with because I think this is more important now than ever. And so that's one thing that I would say. But
how do we figure that out though? Like, I mean, because you're so right in the fact that whoever you talk to, no matter who you talk to,
yeah,
everyone has like different thoughts or like angles, or even if people agree with each other, there's like a slightly different take on it about yeah. what the most important thing is. And I think that I get so overwhelmed by that is like, it's like, well, we should be fighting for this. Well, but yep. but you forgot about this. Or like, mm-hmm. like I remember I posted, like I rarely post things that are, I don't know, that anyone could see to be controversial because it's not my thing.
You don't like to fight on the internet.
I don't like fighting on the internet. It's not like, I don't see the purpose in it. It's not, yeah. that's not my, whatever.
Don't feel
it's not
good.
My thing. But I posted something and it was like, hey, I really care about this cause. And you know, I'm standing up to fight for this specific group of people. And someone posted in the comments, well, what about this other group of people? And mm-hmm. it was like a totally disconnected, like, topic. So anyway, all that to say, mm-hmm. I feel like everyone has different angles, opinions, whatever. And then also things that are like their thing that they want to fight for. And so how do we figure that out in ourselves?
Yeah.
What our core base is?
Yeah. What's our thing? And I love that you asked that because I talk about that so much in this book, but I have a specific meditation. And it's, so there's a couple. But one that comes to mind immediately is the one that's called Carry What You Can. And it basically talks about how I compared the injustices that we face. They're just so numerous and they're so many, right? So I compared them to leaves falling from trees. And I'm like, if you put your hand out and the leaves are falling into your hands, these represent all the issues, all the injustices, all the causes that are important, that matter, that somebody should care about. You put your hands out, you can only catch so many, right? There will be some that will inevitably slip right through your fingers. And that's not to say that the ones that slip out are not important, but it is to say that you can only carry so much. And so in deciding what yours is, I like to think of it as thinking through a couple different things. So there are things that you have proximity to, so causes that you naturally care about because of how it's affected your personal life. It's okay to start here. There's nothing wrong with that. So for example, if you have a parent who is struggling with dementia, you may be really passionate about causes that speak to that and want to solve that. And super cool. Those will be a cause that you carry. And then on top of that, there's personal struggles in your life. And then there's a global issue that caught your attention and really like pierced your heart in a very particular way to where you feel called, right? And so these are all very important and these all matter. And there's only so much you can do. So as you hold those, I think about the person that responded to you in what you posted about, you know, I don't remember what your post was. I don't know if I saw it, but I do know that you, had you gone to that person who posted about something that they cared about, you could have easily commented, well, what about this? Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's another thing that matters. I will say that's a strategy that some people use in bad faith called whataboutism, where you're raising up something that's important and somebody in bad faith to distract from the topic at hand will come into your comment section and quite literally be like, well, what about that? Or in a conversation, be like, well, what about that? And so that is extremely ineffective. I would throw that right in the bucket with devil's advocacy, like just things that are not helpful in the moment when someone's bringing something to light. And so unfortunately, it's one of those things where it's guaranteed to happen. And you just have to be strong and unwavering in the fact that you care about what you care about. And it does not mean that you don't care about everything else. It just means that right now, what's pulling on your heartstrings for you personally is what's pulling on your heartstrings. And I even have this illustration that I posted the other day that was talking about, it had different hands and strings that were tying the hands together. And I said, you know, with what we're witnessing now in the world around us, specifically with, you know, I wrote this in reference to, you know, Israel and Palestine. We are seeing now that we are all being affected by the strings that tie us together. None of us are looking at what's happening overseas and saying, well, it ain't got nothing to do with me. Not mm-hmm. anybody with empathy, at least, right? We're all like, wow, this is really, really difficult. This is really hard. Injustice is at play. Oppression is at work. But I also think that one thing that I mentioned that's super important was, you know, the thing about the strings is we're all tied together, but we're tied together differently. So when you feel a tug, you might be pulled in this direction towards, oh, I'm going to give to Doctors Without Borders. Somebody might be pulled over here and saying, well, I'm going to give to World Central Kitchen, or I'm going to order this book and learn more about this. Or actually, there's another war happening at the same time over here that's really pulling my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And this is important because this is how humanity works. It's how we cover ground. All of us, so I saw someone post today and they were like, I really wish I just knew what the plan was. And I think it was Sharon McMahon. She had said, you are the plan. We are the plan. And so when you think of it that way, that there's no magic potion, there's no script, there's no blueprint. It's just you feel the tug that you yourself are pulled to and you go there. You don't worry about where other people are going. If they like where you're going, it's how we cover ground. If we were all dead locked, dead set, dead focused on one single issue over another, then there would be so many issues across the world that would never, ever get attention. And so go where you are called to. And that does not take away from the importance of any other cause or any other issue. You just have to remind yourself, hey, this issue matters too. Not only, it matters too. And so that's something that I like to think of. It's the strings. I'm feeling the tug on the strings that tie us together, and I'm being tugged in this direction. And so that's where I'm going to go.
And finding some peace in the fact that someone else is tugged in a different direction. Like, yes, this is my thing. This other thing will be someone else's thing.
Yes.
Did I tell you, I'm sure I told you about this in last time we talked, but I'm going to share it again because I think about it so much. During the pandemic, I was pregnant and that was wild. But also, yeah. So period. And so I spent a lot of time watching Animal Planet. I think I could have stopped it. I was pregnant or it was during the pandemic. But anyway, I spend lots of time watching Animal Planet. And I watched all those shows that are like the zoo, like Tampa Zoo, like Zoo Down Under, Zoo whatever. And the thing that I found so much peace about in this season of life where everything felt out of control was the fact, was watching people in these different zoos care immensely about like this one specific kind of tree frog that like only exists in the jungle of Cambodia or something like that. And they knew that this tree frog was going extinct and they're working on like, you know, repopulating this tree frog and they're bringing it back out into Cambodia and like letting it go and whatever. They're concerned about the tree frog population and they know that it connects with everything else, but this is the one thing that they can work on. And I just felt so much like when I thought that there is someone who cares more about tree frogs and is equipped to do something about it that isn't me, I felt like I could sleep better at night. And it was like, okay, that's also true about like people who know about how diseases spread and, you know, like vaccine developers and doctors and, you know, people who take care of babies. And like, I mean, just all the different things that felt so out of control. It just was so nice to think about the fact that there are other people who are better at this than me and who are paying attention. And I forget about that sometimes, but always like, it, and it always just looks like tree frog in my head. It's like, if you say tree frog, I kind of take a deep breath. But I love that. That's exactly what you're saying is that everyone has something different that pulls at them. And if we all walk in the direction of the thing that pulls at us,
yeah,
most things are going to get covered.
Yes. Yes. And that's the best part about it. I think a lot of us, the heaviness that we feel is, in fact, you know, tied to the struggles of what we're witnessing on a global scale and also connected to the guilt we feel for not being able to hold everything, the fear we feel of not wanting to say the wrong thing and then have our character maligned and just be attacked. Yeah. And it feels like it's all this coming together to form its own big, heavy weight. And for me, I just had to be like, okay, let me sit down and be like, okay, for real, what is mine to carry? Because aside from all these issues that matter so much, I also have to show up every day and do my job, like my actual job, like what gives me money. So there's that, you know, there's people who are fighting things like poverty and are waking up every day wondering, how am I going to make ends meet? And is that person heartless in comparison to the other person who has the capacity to be on Instagram all day, every day, advocating for their specific cause that they care about? That person's cause, the person who's trying to make their ends meet, that person's cause right now is their family and the food that they're trying to get on their table. And yeah, that's okay too. That's not the end all be all of their contribution to the world, but that may be their focus and that's okay. Yeah. Because our life is full of ups and downs and strings. There's so many. And so I just want to find a way to encourage people of that, because jumping online, it can just seem as if that's not the case. And we can't live that way. We can't live that way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you.
So what do we do with, if like once we kind of figure out what our thing is or what our mm-hmm. thing is right now, you know? Well, I guess sort of separate from that, how do we pay attention to what's going on in the world without, something my counselor and I were talking about is like secondary trauma. Like I have been so deeply affected by the mass shootings in our country. Mm-hmm. Like I grew up in Colorado. I was really, Columbine was really, really present in my life. And there have been several, like several mass shootings that have been just absolutely way too close to home. And even if that wasn't the case, the amount of like coverage that I've read or videos I've watched or what's happening has left me with wounds. That aren't so I have never been in a mass shooting, but I carry similar wounds to as if I had been. And I know that that's a real thing in our psychology, that we can be traumatized by something without, it's secondary trauma. And so how do we pay attention to what's going on in the world and be present and be a warm heart who cares about humanity without like taking so much of it that it crushes us?
Yeah. Yes. When you first described this, what I immediately went to in my mind was when videos of Black men being killed by police kept circulating on social media.
Yep.
And one thing that activists were consistently saying was, stop circulating these videos. Stop asking people to watch these videos. Because not only the fact that it's traumatic, because, oh my goodness, yes, but it's also dehumanizing because it can cause you to forget. So in some instances, it's like, wow, this is really bad, and it can awaken yourself to the reality of the violence. Yet on the other hand, it can be dehumanizing to consistently see this. And so I thought, for me, as a way to protect and remind myself of the sanctity of life and that these are human beings, not, you know, they're not roadkill. Like, these are people. And so I wanted to remind myself that I didn't have to consistently take that in. And I realized that that was beneficial for me, and it actually improved my advocacy, because yes, I know that this is happening. And now that I know, I'm gonna avoid the heaviness and the traumatic experience that would come from ingesting all that information, because it's going to take me away from what I now know is mine to do. So now with this information, the action that I take in response to it won't be bogged down by the heaviness of witnessing it. It's already heavy enough to know that it's happened, right?
Yeah.
And so that is the direction that I decided to go in. And for people who feel like they just can't look away, because there's also that rhetoric of don't look away. To look away means that you don't care. Mm-hmm. That cannot be said of everyone. And that is not true for everyone.
Yeah.
You know how you're built. You know how you're wired. And I follow this account called Good, Good, Good on Instagram.
Love it. Love Brandon.
Angels on the planet. Brandon Harvey is one of the most beautiful people I've ever met.
He is so great. I have for years been like, we might need to break our girls' night rule and bring Brandon Harvey on.
Oh my gosh. And he would love it.
No. Brandon's a really good girls' night addition, even though
we like the girl party, but we also like Brandon.
Yeah, we also like Brandon.
So they posted this post, and it was called How to Stay Informed About Global Crises Without Doom Scrolling. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because it's kind of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And one thing that they put on there, which is kind of related to what I was just talking about, was situational reports. So he was like, a great alternative to just taking in this graphic content all day long is to consult the situational report, which will kind of give you the overview from an organization like UNICEF or OSHA. They will, or OCHA, sorry, not OSHA. They will give you kind of like an outline of here are the updates of the day, and you don't have to, you know, look at all the graphic content. And there was a little bit of pushback when this was shared. There were people who were saying, you're just trying to desensitize yourself to the reality of this. And no, for some people, we are trying to maintain our stamina.
Sensitivity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our sensitivity, our stamina, mm-hmm. And our ability to take action quickly mm-hmm. by protecting, you know, our eyes. I'm reminding myself that these are people, and I don't have to watch them die to know that I care about them and want to take action on their behalf. And yeah. So I just thought that was a really great practical step that someone could take if they're like, I want to know more and I don't want to have to see all of this at all times. And so it can be a tricky situation to navigate. But overall, I think if the intake of this content is taking away from your ability to do the work you were put on earth to do, there may need to be an adjustment, you know, of the balance of what you're doing and how often you're doing it.
Yeah. I love that because, you know, I'm someone who, like, I don't watch scary movies because I can't get things out of my brain. And I know that a lot of us are that way.
Yeah.
And so, there is the thing though, where it's like, don't look away because you have the privilege of looking away because this isn't happening to you.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's actually a benefit to not being the one this is happening to because you're able to act differently. Like there's no sense in putting yourself in the hospital also, you know, you can't take care of people if you are also like, if you got like sympathy wounded also. Mm-hmm. So I like that it's what are we consuming and why? And is this actually the most beneficial thing I can do for this other person mm-hmm. to enter into this with them in this way? Or can I be more helpful if I'm not like in a puddle also because this is like secondarily happened to me because of how much I've like taken in about it?
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do about something that... when something comes along that isn't our thing, like our hands are full of leaves, something else happens in the world and we care and we want to care and we want to help, but like our hands are full. What can we do?
Yes. And that's an excellent question. And I have an art piece in the book called Finding Your Starting Role that seeks to answer that exact question based on analyzing your context and your capacity. I don't remember if we talked about this last time, but I may have just drawn it last time, which is very interesting. But it basically gives four starting roles for somebody based on their context or their capacity. You have just mentioned, you know, they don't have a lot of capacity, right? So if the context is low, it may be an opportunity to amplify other voices that are trusted that you know. If this is talking about social media, maybe amplifying the content that other people are posting that you know is vetted from people you trust. If the context is high, then maybe taking moments to share what you know quickly, you know, in ways that are accessible and really lean on your expertise. But if none of those are true and you are like, no capacity, no context, don't even have time to necessarily be an advocate online either, I think of the little quick actions that can be done based on what I know. So I think it's really good to have a trusted global nonprofit organization in your back pocket that you are just like, oh, no matter what, I know World Central Kitchen is on the ground. Mm. No matter what, Doctors Without Borders is going to do their thing and be like, oh, I just heard about this. This is a global issue and WCK is always there. Let me send $10 to WCK. I know they're going to do something. And that matters. That matters a lot, right? Also, you can consider what you're already doing in your day-to-day. Let's say that you listen to podcasts on the way to work. how can you substitute in a podcast episode that contains information related to this thing you just heard about so you can get your knowledge up? And mm-hmm. now you know. So that's another 15 minutes that you dedicated to this thing, 30 minutes or whatever. So little actions like that, whether it's listening to the podcast episode or finding $10 that you can give to World Central Kitchen because you know that they're always going to be on the ground.
Yeah.
A conversation, how can you hold space for someone else who's wrestling with this topic just like you are? Mm-hmm. And kind of sitting together and being like, it's heavy for me. Is it heavy for you? Yes, girl, it's heavy for me.
Yeah.
That matters too. That really matters a lot, actually. Yeah. So yeah, those are just a couple of ideas that came to my mind.
I love that. Danny, I am so grateful for your work. And I just can't tell you how much it matters. Like, it just matters so deeply to me. You know, when I think about the things I've learned from you, so often, whenever anything hard happens in the world, one of the things that I know you said last time we talked was like, about giving money, you said something to the effect of, and you said it so well, but you said something like, are these other people asking you to solve this problem or are right. they just like asking you for 10 bucks?
Yes.
And that was so humbling for me because I feel like if there is something that can be done, I need to figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. Even things where I'm like, no one wants my help with this. Like, I am so ill-equipped. Like, Doctors Without Borders does not want me to volunteer. Like, right. do not come. Right. I will not be helpful. Yeah. But like, we'll take your 10 bucks.
Yeah.
And that just was so, it just was so helpful. And I just want you to know that the work you do is so valuable and so important and has just made such a difference in my life. As I'm carrying all the things that we carry as human beings in the world right now. Yeah. And so I just thank you. And everyone listening, like, go follow Danny and go get her book, For the Love of All Authors in the World. Go get her book. but really, friend, we're going to, like, you know, give it a couple months and I'll be calling you again because we're going to need to have you back.
We're just going to chill, and that's just what it is. Thank you so much for having me. You're so kind and your words really do mean a lot.
Love you, friends. Friend, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I cannot tell you how much it means to me to have you here at Girls Night. Before you go, I would love it if you would do two quick things. The first is to subscribe. Subscribing to the podcast is the best way to make sure you never miss an episode. It's also a way easier way to listen because it's a way of sort of bookmarking the podcast. You never have to go looking for it again. Your app will just automatically download the next episode when a new one's released. Just hit that subscribe button or follow button or plus button and it'll keep you up to date. The other thing is, it would mean so much to me if you would take just a second to leave a rating and a review for the podcast. The way that iTunes knows to suggest the podcast to new people is by the ratings and the reviews. That's how we invite new friends to our girls' nights. So would you do me a huge favor and take just a second to leave a rating and a quick comment about how you like the podcast so far? It would help us out so much. And thank you so much to all of you who've left those beautiful 5-star reviews already. I can't tell you how much that means to me. All right, friend, that's all we have for today, but we'll be back next week with another episode of Girls' Night. I'll see you then.